Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Amen. Well, we're going to connect this morning, we're going to connect our perspective back to contentment. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the subject of contentment, and the idea of contentment really is that we already have so much and that we really want to learn to stop striving for what we don't have. We can live very jaded. We can live very dissatisfied. We can live very anxious if we're constantly reaching for what we don't have. And the whole concept of contentment is to look at what the Lord's given us and to settle into that, and then to ask the Lord to help shift our perspective. So I want to kind of give a little reminder of where we started a couple of weeks ago, and then we'll move on to some new material. So we live in a culture, every country, every culture has its strengths and its weaknesses. And typically those strengths and weaknesses are connected. And in our culture, we have so much freedom, and we've been sold something called the American dream. That the way you're going to be happy is if you have certain things. If your life looks a certain way, then you are living the dream. But the problem is, we're told that if we're rich, we'll be happy. And there are plenty of rich people more miserable than the poorest person I know. We're told that if you feel happy all the time, that you're blessed and you're living your best life. If you're always happy. We're told that if you're popular or influential, that's really what it is that you're after, whether it's in business or your social spheres, that's constantly to have the upper hand, to have a greater influence, whether that's a greater following on social media, or it's more friends, or it's more people coming to your church as a pastor. We're constantly told that more in all those categories, that equals the American dream, that equals success, that equals freedom, that equals joy. And it's just not true. There's so many, my goodness, all the megachurch pastors that have come out in the news over the course of the last bit of time. And so many of them, it was sexual misconduct, meaning they weren't content with what they had, though they had more than what others have, maybe. There's always this reaching for more. It's a lie. It's a lie. The American dream is a lie. It will not satisfy you. And if we make our life about reaching for that, we're going to be discontent. And we're going to get jaded, because at some point along the way, we're going to get tired of reaching for more and more stuff, more and more influence, more and more temporal success. And our heart is going to realize we've been talked into a lie, but by that point, we'll already have invested so much energy in that path that it feels impossible to start over and start on a new path. We need to learn to be content with what we have. We need to. Contentment has nothing to do with your outward circumstances. And nothing to do with what you have. And that's the lie. That's the thing that we need to get a hold of, is that it's not about all our stuff. It really comes down to, we're blessed because we know God. It's really that simple. We're going to spend some time this morning talking about what that means, but it's really that simple. As JC and I were on this trip last weekend, I was reminded of a passage that we all know, but it's a passage that has some meaning for me. It's Psalm 1:1-3. And we were talking about it, and there was a song that we were listening to that had this passage in it. And I just want to read it real quick, and maybe what we can do is we can start to reprogram what it means to be blessed. Maybe right now we can kind of start, instead of looking at the American dream and all that term means, all that's wrapped up in that, all the reaching for more. If I had just had to say what the American dream is, it's constantly reaching for more, because as soon as you've got the house with the white picket fence, now it needs to have more bedrooms. And as soon as you've got those more bedrooms, and now you need a boat. I mean, it's like there's just no end to it. There's no end. But what if us being blessed was defined by biblical parameters, and not by the way that the culture around us has told us? So here's Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. They are not a part of mockery. But this person, this blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This person, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I really like this definition of blessed better. It doesn't matter how much stuff I've got. It doesn't matter how many people know my name. It doesn't matter that I've got this list of accomplishments that, you know, built up to the sky. Blessed is the one that walks with God. And then you're blessed. And you arrived. You did it. Biblical dream. Not American dream. Biblical dream. You did it. Do you walk with God? Do you take his word seriously? Do you apply it? See, this is really good news because it's almost like we've divorced the idea of blessed, and we've made it two different things. Like, well, there's the way the world calls us blessed, and that's the one we really believe. And then there's the ways that the Bible calls us blessed, but that's just spiritual and doesn't really mean anything. And we've really got that so backwards. We really need to be looking at what does the Word of God define as blessed? I mean, did we experience John 3:16 or not? Did we actually come to Christ? Are we actually a new creation? Are we now in God? Is our life not hidden in God, in Christ? Are we not? Is that not the real us? Because if it is, then this is the real definition of blessed. This is the real blessed. Not all the external stuff. I think there's so many of us that are afraid of dying without having accomplished something, without having reached a certain amount of, you know, money in our bank account, without having a certain status. You do realize you're going to live forever, right? That's true. So when you die, that was like the summer before kindergarten. That was just the beginning. You're going to live forever. You really are. And if that's not true, then we're to be pitied above all men. But we believe that. So if we believe that, who cares if you die broke? Why does that matter? Who cares if you don't reach that level of success? Who cares if you weren't able to keep up with the Joneses? Who cares? Why does that matter? It matters because someone told us it matters. The Bible did not tell us that. So somewhere along the line, we started to believe a different version of the word blessed. And we bought it. We bought it hard. And so now we're so dissatisfied because we're trying to live up to something that you can't even attain because the billionaires are trying to figure out how to become trillionaires. There's no end to this. It's frivolous. It is not happiness. It is not contentment. It's not what you were created for. Now, some of you, God actually intends for you to be wildly rich. Follow the Lord, but don't reach for what's not yours. And even if the Lord says to you, you're going to be wildly rich, don't get there by means that the Lord doesn't lead. You do not want that. Listen, whatever you build, you have to sustain. But if the Lord builds it, he'll sustain it, and all you got to do is be a yes man. Yes, sir, I'll follow you. Instead of I'm in charge of my life, I'm in charge of my destiny, that is frustration and stress to the max. To live that way is very stressful, where you're in charge. You will be stressed, and you will miss out on the life that God actually has for you because you'll be so stressed, you won't be able to participate in the blessed life that God really does want you walking in. I want to be reminded of the biblical principles. I want to look at what it means to be blessed from the Word and go, that's the definition. That's what I'm after. For real. Because I think we say it, but then there's some baseline, foundational stronghold in us that's like, I'll say the spiritual words because I believe it's true, sort of. But really, when church is over, I'm going to go back to trying to live the blessed life the way that it's been defined by the culture around me. But what if we could actually go, no, I'm blessed because I don't walk in the counsel of wickedness. And I'm blessed because I'm not a mocker. And I'm blessed because I don't sit with sinners and live the life that they're living. Poor character corrupts. Like I'm just looking at biblical principles. Well, what you're like, well, I'm already doing that. You're already blessed. But what if our delight was in the Word? What if we meditated on it? What if we gave ourselves to the Word of God, believing it, that what it says is true, and what we experience and what we're told and what our culture says, this is really what you should be attaining to, this is really what you're after? What if we said, no, no. I want what the Word of God tells me. I want what the Word has. I don't know, since I was like 18 and I gave my life to the Lord, I had this, I think it's mostly been a healthy fear. I think at times it's probably been a little bit unhealthy, but mostly a healthy fear that I would live a life different than the one God wanted me to live and therefore show up before him with a life I made for myself instead of the life he designed for me. That's a real thing. I think it probably happens every day to thousands who die. They stand before him and they say, look at this life. And the Lord says, yeah, but I had this one. You live 20% of what I had for you, 50% of what I had for you, because you kept trying to make your life, instead of walking in my counsel, abiding in my word, applying what I show you, because if you'll do that, you will yield fruit, and whatever you touch will prosper. I want this. I want this blessed life. I want this version. We're not the sum of our stuff. It's hard. It's challenging sometimes. I think about some of the decisions that we've made as a family and that how that impacts us, how that impacts our stuff in a worldly negative sense. You know, it's like, well, we don't have that stuff because we chose to do this instead. But we're not the sum of our stuff. Look at these verses. This is Luke 3 and then Hebrews 13. Luke 3, 14 says this. And some soldiers asked Jesus, what should I do, or what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Like, be content with your pay, with what you have. Don't try to reach for more than what's yours, and especially don't go about it by wicked means. Listen, if the Lord's leading you, and he's like, hey, listen, I'm giving you this job, and I want you to work your way up in the company, and you feel the Lord on that, not you feel the you on that. You can feel the you on that all day long. You feel the Lord on that? Then do the leading of the Lord. My point is, don't try to climb that ladder if it's not yours to climb. And if it's yours to climb, then climb it. But don't base that off of, is there opportunity? Not every open door is God. You will find yourself very off path if you follow open doors only. You got to be led by the Lord. Is this the career he has for me? Is this the path? And then reach for whatever he wants you to reach for, not whatever is reachable for. You'll wind up so off course. It's really frustrating, in my opinion, because it's like, Lord, this whole free will thing is really, I'm not sure it's a good idea. Because as long as we have free will, we got choices to make. And if we're not guided by the Word of God, if we're not meditating on his word day and night in order to know what right principles are, we can actually make a lot of fleshly decisions and wind up off course. Look at this one. Hebrews 13 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. How does that apply to the finances? Well, if our perspective is the love of money, I'm trying to get more because that'll get me more stuff, which will make me happier. And if I can get this thing, which costs this amount, or costs this much promotions, or costs this much activity, or this much networking, if I can get this thing, then once I have that, then I'll be happy. And the Lord's like, it's a trap. Don't do it. It's like, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not going to work. You will use up all your time and attention. You will spend yourselves on that. Instead, be content with what you have because God is with you. See, it goes back to the what's true blessed life. What's the true blessed life? Blessed is the man who walks with God. Paraphrase. The one that walks with God. That's where you're going to find your contentment. And the author of Hebrews here, which, I mean, really, every author in the Bible, it's God talking through somebody, you know? And so the Lord is trying to convince us, trying to help us to understand, don't chase money, don't chase promotion, don't chase fame, don't chase success, don't chase that. Instead, be content with what you have because we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. God is with me. He will take care of me. You know, I say this often, but I say it often because I want to remind myself, you can't miss God by pursuing God. You can't. Sometimes he's quiet. He loves the quiet game. He loves hide and go seek. I'm like, Lord, enough with the hide and go seek. I'm right here. You're right there somewhere in the dark. I just can't see you at the moment. And why are you so quiet? I don't know why he likes to be quiet. I don't know why. He loves it, though. You can't miss his will by violently pursuing it. You can miss it by sort of caring about his will and really caring about yours. You can miss God big time that way. But you can't miss God. You can't wind up off course. You can't wind up in the wrong place. You can't wind up far down a road that was never yours to take by seeking the will of God. You can't. He would be a bad God. He would be a bad leader. I'm trying. Often, here's what happens. And this is just, it's another piece of us learning to be content and us understanding what really blessed life looks like. Often, we find ourselves in situations where we're asking him for his will. He's not speaking because his will is for you to be frustrated. That's his will. He wants you frustrated. And he wants you to stay there and not squirm. Okay? We're seeking his will. He's not talking. And we go, well, if you're not going to talk, then I'll just do my own thing. And we wind up off course. It happens all too often. Little areas of our life, big areas of our life. We can wind up off course that way. See, because you went from I'm seeking your will to I'm defining it. Like, if we'll just wait, he will eventually talk. He always will talk eventually, just often way past your willingness to wait. But he'll always talk. He's not unwilling. He likes you. He has a plan for your life. He can help you. And he loves the quiet game. For the love of all good things, God, change games. He loves the quiet game. He loves it. And what that means is, shh, quiet, be still. Know that I'm God. Just chill. Don't make up a plan for yourself. Just chill. But the contentment, or rather the discontentment, I don't like this. I don't like this waiting game. I don't like this quiet. I don't like it. I want to know the will of God, and I want to know it now, and so we make up the will of God. And then we've got work to declutter. Because eventually, for those of us that really love the Lord, and I believe we do, we're going to try to get back on path, but we're going to have to undo all the dumb we just did. There's stuff that we're going to have to undo. There's life we're going to have to unravel. Because we took steps that weren't ours to take. I think a big piece of our dissatisfaction is a wrong definition of what it means to be blessed. I really do. I think that we've got a wrong definition of a blessed life, and we've got a forgetful heart about how blessed we really are. And so we're defining blessed looks like this. I'm not just talking about life in general. I'm talking about, well, I'd be more blessed if I had this instead of had that. I'd be more blessed if this thing could just be over now or if this thing could just be started. But we have this wrong perspective about what a blessed life is. And so we find ourselves pursuing the wrong blessed life. What if, when we started to get a little frustrated, we went, how do I not walk in the counsel of the wicked more? How do I meditate on his word more? How do I pursue his ways and his path? Wait, but that doesn't fix your problem. Aren't you broke? Aren't you homeless? Aren't you whatever, you know, despondent at the moment? Well, yes, but the word of God tells me that I'm blessed actually before him if I'll do these things, and then whatever I do will prosper. But we're so often, if I can kind of push on a button, we so often put ourselves in the God seat. I will order my life so that my life will be blessed. I'm good. I've got this figured out. I've got enough biblical principles. I know how to do this without your help, God. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to order my steps so that I will be blessed. But God says, that's not actually how you get to prosperity. That's not actually how you get my favor on you. All right, so let's pivot, okay? Let's talk a little bit about how blessed we already are. Okay, I want to read a few more verses. Let's put up the one in Romans 4:7. We'll look on that in just a second. Here's what I want to do before we even start reading any of these verses. What if we actually begin to believe these verses? I mean, we all know what it is to have read a passage, a chapter, a verse, a proverb 1,000 times, and it never touched us. Like, we're like, yep, Bible, good. But it's something different to see a verse, a phrase, and go, no, I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy in. I'm going to believe that. What if the verses we're about to read that actually define the blessed life the way that the Bible does, what if we actually believed them? What if we believed them as instructions? What if we actually took them to heart? The biblical reasons that we can be sure as a firm foundation that we are already a blessed people. Already. See, because that contentment with what you have, we so often think, well, yeah, but my natural circumstances, I don't actually have that much to be content about. Oh, but you have eternal realities that are infinite. And you have them already. Let's look at a few of them. What if we believed we're blessed because we're saved? Like, what if we believed that? Do you know how many people are in hell right now? I don't know the number, but it's a lot. Do you know how many people are on their way there right now? Another big number. You're going to live forever. And right now, your life is the worst it will ever be. When you graduate, when you stand before him, it's next level. Forever. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Are your transgressions forgiven? Did you give your life to the Lord? You're blessed. For real, you're blessed. You're so blessed. If nothing good ever happens to you, you've got it made. You're blessed. Your transgressions, that there's no reason except that he's nice, that you should be forgiven of those transgressions. I know, because I got a long list of them. A long list. And blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That's very different than the way that our culture defines blessed. I think our culture would look at that and mock, maybe even outside of the context of a sober conversation that we're having, maybe even a lot of Christians. That's not how I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because I'm forgiven. I already did that. I gave my life to Jesus X number of years ago. I'm looking for real blessing. No, you're looking for the lie blessing. You're looking for the temporal. You're looking for the snare of the enemy, actually, because you can't pursue both paths. So you'll be on one or the other. But what if we believed I'm blessed because my transgressions have been forgiven? Here's a fun one. I really, really love this one, so don't hate on me. Psalm 65, Psalm 84. What if we're blessed just because we went to the house of prayer? You didn't even do nothing in there. You were mad while you were there. Look what this says. Blessed are those you chose and bring near to live in your courts. This isn't talking about heaven. And it's not talking about going to church. It's talking actually about a 24/7 house of prayer that was in Jerusalem. The courts of the Lord, where God's presence was lifted up day and night. That's actually the context of what we're looking at here in Psalm 65. Psalm 84 says similarly, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Dwell in your house doesn't mean get saved. Dwell in your house doesn't mean go to church a few times. Dwell in the house. This was actually, these are Levites who literally lived at the house of prayer. They had dwelling places at the temple. And it's saying, you're blessed because of your proximity to the house of prayer and your engagement with it, if you choose to dwell in it. We know that this dwell goes beyond those that physically live there only, because David said, one thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And David did not live at the house of prayer. He lived nearby. But he said, I'm going to be one that goes there all the time. And here we've got this blessing. I want you to think about this. How rare of a crazy reality is it that there's a place that's open all the time that's worshiping God all the time? A house for his place, her presence to rest. I hear people all the time. The first time visitors over at the prayer room, they're way smarter than we are. They walk in, and because it's brand new, and they're like, what is this? They're struck by it, and they're feeling the presence of God in a way that I think maybe a lot of us are accustomed to. And that's not all bad, but it is something we need to keep in mind, because the word says we're blessed by dwelling, by inhabiting, by being about the courts of the Lord, the place where he is worshiped night and day. I'm a blessed person because of that, because of the house of prayer nearby. Now go and spend some time meditating on those verses and come to your own conclusions if you don't like what I'm saying. But don't just dismiss it because you don't like what I'm saying. Go meditate and ask the Lord for some revelation. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Look at Psalm 2:12. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. There's a blessing on us when we take refuge. You know what the real problem here is? That sounds awesome. Do you know when you need refuge? In a storm. That's a real problem. Because you don't need refuge on a sunny day where everybody's out, you know, picking flowers. There's no need for a refuge. You need a refuge when times are tough. But here's what the Word of God says. You are blessed if you choose in your time of ache, in your owie, in your circumstantial problem, in your pressure, if you will take refuge in the Lord, you're blessed. Which is really good news, because it means on my worst day, I can actually be blessed. I mean, this is really good news. This is some of the backwardness of the kingdom of God. You can be blessed when things are horrible if you take refuge in him. Now, if you just choose to complain, you'll probably not be blessed. If you're just like, I'm going to ride this one out, not going to really engage God much, I'm just going to try to get through this painful thing, well, then you won't necessarily be blessed. But if you'll take refuge in him, you will. If you find yourself in hard situations, and aren't we always in at least three? I mean, is it just me? There's always three, you know, or five. And then sometimes there's like one that's like, oh, that one right there is a headache. That one might take me out if I'm not careful. If we will choose to take refuge in the Lord in the midst of our ache and pain, we're blessed. What if we believed this instead of it being a cute thing that was in the sermon Sunday? What if we believed when I choose to reach to God and I find refuge in him and comfort in him in the midst of my pain, because you are going to experience problems, friends. That is not a prophecy. That is life on planet Earth, okay? We will face many troubles. How we face them defines whether we're blessed or not. You're going to have problems. But he actually wrote it into the code book that when you face them, you can be blessed. I want to be blessed. I don't want to just be messed. I mean, I don't want that thing to sweep over me like a giant wave and take me out. I want to be blessed. You are blessed if you take refuge in him in the midst of your pain. That's true blessing. And you can do that. It's your choice. I mean, I find that these blessings are actually infinitely easier to attain than the ones, than the worldly ones, and also infinitely harder. Oh man, because you got to engage mind, soul, spirit, and body. You got to be set on a trajectory to believe that the Word of God says you're blessed if you take refuge in Him. No, no, I'm blessed if the problem goes bye-bye. I promise you. That's how I'm blessed. I know, I've been there. Nope, problem go bye-bye is not how you get blessed. Blessing go high-high. That's how you get blessed. You go, you're right there in the middle of it, and you reach refuge. I will make the Lord my refuge in the midst of this pain, in the midst of this trial. I will make the Lord my refuge, and He says, and I will bless you. You don't have to love this one. It's okay. But it's the Word. Revelation 1:3 says you're blessed if you read the book of Revelation. You're like, I don't really like the book of Revelation. Well, maybe it don't like you. But it could if you'd read it. Look at this. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Oh, yeah. And also, if you want the double blessing, don't just read it. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what's written in it, because the time is near. There is a blessing. It doesn't say it in any other book. There's a blessing that rests straight up reading the book of Revelation. There's a number of us in this community that for a period of 3 years made a commitment, just because it was a thing to do, made a commitment to read the book of Revelation every week for 3 years. There was so much blessing. It's unbelievable. We have a prayer meeting. If you're like, well, it's hard for me to read. I'm not much of a reader myself. We have a prayer meeting over at the House of Prayer that actually reads through the book of Revelation every week. Just go join that prayer meeting. Just go sit in the room and hear the book of Revelation read every week. Friends, we can look at this and go, well, that's cute, that's sweet, it means nothing. God wrote words that mean absolutely nothing. Or we can read it and go, I'm going to take it by faith that if I read the words of the prophecy, the book of Revelation, I'll be blessed. Then if I go a second level and I try to get revelation on it and live like it's true, I'll be blessed. What if this is the way we were processing blessed? What if our conversations weren't, how much of this do you have? How much of that are you going to get? What if our question was, you read the book of Revelation lately and gotten blessed? You making the Lord your refuge in that circumstance? Are you blessed? Are you meditating on His word? Are you blessed? See, the Lord spoke about this a lot. Like, the Word of God is full of this kind of stuff. Full of it. So much revelation about how to be a truly blessed person. But our strategy, if we're not careful, by default, because of the way we've been programmed in our culture, is to default back on temporal blessings. What is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And what if that's not just an all or nothing? What if I can gain half the world and lose half my soul? What if I can gain a fourth of the world and lose 25% of my soul? What if it's actually a scale of how much we invest for real, we believe the word, that we want to gain the reality that God gave us. We want to gain the kingdom. We want to gain the blessed life the way that the word of God lays out. See, because I think that's actually probably way more what's happening than somebody who fully gains the whole world and then loses their soul and winds up lost. I mean, that's the fullness of the parable. But I don't think that that is actually the majority of the application. I think majority of the application is my heart reaching for the world right now? Is my heart trying to gain that in a way that is not actually what the Lord has for me? And am I instead, shouldn't I be trying to gain all these blessings that the Lord promises me that it wouldn't matter if I was on an island by myself? I mean, if true blessing requires your circumstances to look a certain way, who on planet Earth is blessed? It's not. It's the inner life. Blessed is the one that walks with God, who knows God and walks with Him. Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and find great delight in His commands. To fear the Lord, it's It's really the same conversation we're having. It's not a new conversation. It's the exact same one. To fear the Lord is, Lord, you're big, you're smart. You're smarter than me. You put me on the earth. I'm not an accident. Therefore, you have a plan for my life. What is that plan? I'll do it your way instead of doing it my way. That's what the fear of the Lord is. I'm going to do it your way instead of doing it my way. Because my way sometimes is blatant sin. Well, don't do that. Sometimes my way is just, you want this, but I really want this. Also, don't do that. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is not just about major sin issues. Fear the Lord is he actually God? Is he smart enough to know a plan for your life that's better than your plan for your life? That's actually the fear of the Lord. And to delight in his ways, to delight in his commands. Lord, your ways are better. You're higher. You're smarter. You're bigger. You've been thinking about this a lot longer. Let me delight in your way instead of delight in mine. About Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. Do you think that when you open your mouth, do you think about this? That when you open your mouth to praise him, to talk about who he is, to sing his praise or say his praise to a friend, that you're blessed by doing so. Those who have learned to acclaim him. Those who have learned the secret that when I praise God instead of, you know, dig on my circumstances, when I choose to praise God instead of complain, I'm blessed. And the blessing of God flows through me. I can do that. I may not be able to be rich. I may not be able to have it all figured out. I may not be able to accomplish all these things in my profession that I want to. I may not have it all laid out the way that I want, but I can praise Jesus. I can praise God on my bad day. I can, and so can you. And the Lord says, that's actually what I'm after. Why don't you let me be in charge of how promoted you are, how much money you have, how much influence, how much stuff you accomplish. Why don't you let me be in charge of that? Stop being in charge of that. Why don't you be in charge of how much you praise me? Because I can't make you do that. Wow. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim the Lord. That's profound. And then Isaiah 30 verse 18, alluded to it earlier, but it's powerful. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. The Lord is a God of justice. This all sounds good. This is awesome. I can't wait. What's next? Wait way too long. Oh, no. I loved this until that part. Blessed are all who wait for him. Well, wait, not isn't it blessed are those who get stuff from God? I like that blessing. Blessed are those who wait for him. Again, kind of like the refuge thing, wait for him means you needed something yesterday, the rent was due. Blessed are those who wait for him. Blessed are those who wait for him. These are different principles. I mean, I don't think we really realize the level of difference there is between the way we think and the way God thinks. The way he runs his kingdom and the way that we, in all of our infinite wisdom, think he should run his kingdom. I'm not sure we're fully in touch with how much his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. I don't know that we've really got that. Because he says, the Lord really can't wait to be gracious to you. He's got it in his heart. And he will rise up and do cool stuff for you. He will show compassion on you in your circumstances. He will. He is a God of justice. You can count on it. Also, wait way longer than you want to for him to do it. And if you will not squirm out, if you'll actually stay there, you'll be blessed. See, I want to be in those moments. Not have to believe it by faith. I want to be in the moment and go, I'm blessed because I'm here waiting and I refuse to leave. I'm in this situation I don't like, and I'm blessed because I refuse to find my own way out. I'm blessed. The Word of God says I am blessed when I wait. And the only reason we would have to wait is because we don't have the thing that we want. Blessed are those who wait on Him. Man, I want to shift our thinking. Thinking from what the world defines the word blessed means and what the Bible defines the word blessed. If you look up blessed, you're going to find a lot more Bible verses than we looked up today. We didn't even touch the Beatitudes. There's a lot of blessed in the word. So does God want us blessed? Absolutely. Does He want us blessed in unimaginable ways? He does. The problem is they are unimaginable ways, as opposed to, well, if I could just get these five things lined up, I'd be blessed. No, you won't. You'll be mad about something else. You'll be just as discontent. That won't fix it. The key is to learn to be content with what you have. Now, I want to make this clear. This isn't about being rich or being poor. It has nothing to do with either of those things. It's about having what the Lord wants you to have and being content with whatever that is. And asking the Lord, Lord, Your word gives us permission to pray for stuff. Great, pray for stuff and let the Lord give it to you instead of you making it happen for yourself. I'm not saying everybody needs to be poor. There'll be plenty of people who are poor and that's not where God wanted them. Maybe they just decided they were just going to forsake the plan of God that was actually to have them in a certain place in life, and they were going to just, nope, I'm going to forsake everything, I'm going to be poor. They're just as out of balance as the one that's rich that's been pursuing riches, and God didn't want them there. This is about finding the path that the Lord has for you and learning to be content wherever you're at instead of constantly reaching for something you don't have. It's important. Let the Lord be the one to promote you instead of you making that promotion happen. Let the Lord be the one that blesses you with whatever financial thing instead of you making that happen for yourself. And then be content the whole way through. I don't know, this sounds like a lot better, a lot more spiritual version of life than constantly trying to keep up with the Joneses. Reaching for the blessings that the Word of God gives us and then saying, Lord, give me every good thing You want to give. I live in an incredible house. I am so grateful for what the Lord did. But I wasn't trying to get a bigger house. That wasn't my goal in life. That was the leadership of the Lord. And we said, well, if that's what you want. We were content in the old house, we're content in the new house. This isn't about what you have. It's about contentment. It's about wherever you are, being content and asking the Lord to continue to fuel that contentment instead of constantly reaching for what we don't have. It's a trap, friends. Father, I want to ask You for Your help. Would You give us grace today? Would You help us, Lord, to define blessed the way that You do? And then not just say we believe it, but then would You teach us one verse at a time, one principle at a time? Would You teach us how to do it? Would You teach us how to reappropriate, to redefine blessing, and then to reach for these things that You promise You will pour out Your Spirit on, You promise You will anoint, You promise You will bless. Give us grace, in Jesus' name.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.